Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge news program with a Christian viewpoint. Events are moving again quickly, with several congressmen's lunatic attempts to impeach our president. It is vital that your listeners to the Divided Kingdom do two things. One, you need to call Congress again, or for the first time, and tell your representatives you will vote them out of office if they cooperate in such evil. Here is the toll-free number, and I'll say it slowly, so you can get a pen if you don't already have one. The number is 1-877-762-8762. And once again, that toll-free number to call your Congress persons and senators is 1-877-762-8762. The other vital thing is to pray daily. Right now, we are all going to ask all of you to join us in prayer. Almighty God, we pray that you will guide the president, protect him from those who would try to get him out of office out of their selfish desires or their own agendas, their own left-wing agendas. We just pray for him that you will give him wisdom, that you will give him protection, both physical and spiritual, and that you will defeat any attempts by stray congressmen and congresswomen to impeach the man. We just pray that you'll give him great wisdom for the tasks that he faces in these days and months ahead. Now, bringing things up to date. First, we have Notre Dame. Hammer attack suspect yelled, "This is for Syria." Terror investigation launched. A man with a hammer cried, "This is for Syria," before bashing a police officer in the head outside Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris Tuesday. A top official revealed that the terror investigation was underway. The hammer-wielding man also had two kitchen knives and, quote, other unsophisticated weapons, unquote, with him before charging toward officers patrolling the esplanade in front of the cathedral. French Interior Minister Gerard Collomb said, he said those words. The wounded officer fired at the unnamed suspect twice, injuring the attacker, who was later hospitalized. Another note, 12 states asked Supreme Court to revive Trump's travel ban. Dateline, The Washington Times, Tuesday, June 6, 2017, Stephen Dinan. Texas and 15 other states filed briefs with the Supreme Court on Monday, asking the justices to reinstate President Trump's travel ban policy, saying they're convinced it's both legal and justified. The state said Mr. Trump has broad powers under the law to decide whom to admit, and said U.S. law is replete with examples of the government singling out groups for different treatment in immigration contexts. In addition to Texas, the states that signed the brief are Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Kansas, Louisiana, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Mississippi. Mr. Trump's updated executive order issued in March would create a 90-day halt on many admissions from six terrorist-connected countries, identified by Congress and the Obama administration: Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. The order also imposes a 120-day pause on admission of refugees. Is this needed? Well, after our program tonight, you'll probably be even more inclined to say yes.
This is Elizabeth Cup at Caverly. We are in modern times, dreadfully crucial times. Every day, more radical Islam news comes up. Today, we learn that Sweden will no longer provide health services to migrant rape victims, but continue only to provide help for the refugees. Then we have the armed jihadis attacking the Iranian parliament building and the mausoleum of the Ayatollah Khomeini. At the time we're broadcasting, we find the statistics say there were 12 killed and a number injured. We are here to wake up Americans. We were calling this program before the slow suicide of America by the radical Islamists. Particularly the Christian remnant is hearing our voices, and we need your prayers every day. We hope that we can wake up the many sleeping churches who do not recognize the harrowing danger ahead and the need for intense prayer and strong action. We hear that wonderful clergyman, Franklin Graham, is again holding some Decision America meetings in several states in which we will be praying. They will be praying, and we will be praying for them as they pray for America to repent and for God to show mercy. Well, in prior programs, we interviewed Captain Daryl Eberhardt, who explored the CIA and Vatican connections as historical precedent and reported on disturbing clandestine arrivals of military-age Muslims in western Pennsylvania. Some, he reported, were being bussed in by the highest authorities in the state, the governmental authorities. So we see that certain things look almost treasonous to us there in western Pennsylvania. Lou, back to what you have.
Yes, Elizabeth. Daryl Eberhardt's background in military and NSA intelligence operations informs us that underneath what appears to be innocuous mainstream news, there is a new world order, deep state plan evolving toward world government. Shackles using radical Islam is one tool to destabilize America, even as events in Europe are accelerating, particularly with the two recent English jihadi attacks, killing youngsters, one only 8 years old, at the Ariana Grande concert, and now the London Bridge wake-up call.
Tonight, we are honored again to have the expertise and analysis of Captain Eberhardt. Next week, he will depart from this crucial topic of radical Islam, that is, with a caveat. If things get really bad down in Washington, D.C., he may be bringing you some other cutting-edge news instead, and then reschedule the pre-tribulation rapture hoax for July. But if nothing drastic occurs, we hope and pray it won't, he will be giving you a lot of very interesting truth that you've never heard from his long study and analysis of this topic. Is the pre-tribulation rapture biblical or a hoax? And you'll want to alert your Christian friends and pastors to tune into this. You can hear that then on WWCR Thursday evening, June 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on 4.840 shortwave megahertz. You can then hear it on Monday, the 19th of June, at Liberty Works Radio Network. That's LWRN.net. Tell your younger people in your household, if they have smartphones, they can get an app there and hear LWRN.net. So there on Monday, June 19th, it will repeat. First of all, it will be sent out at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and then it will repeat at 11 p.m. Tonight, we're going to discuss three chapters and perhaps more. We'll let that up to Daryl, of Paul L. Williams' vital book, Crescent Moon Rising, and we certainly hope you will find it. We know that he has said that he can find these books at Barnes & Noble, probably at Amazon. These chapters represent, to my mind, Lou, the core of danger in a growing, ever-present Muslim stronghold in America. We cannot put our trust fully in government or intelligence agencies to save us. The conspiracy for global control runs deep.
Yes, either key leaders are really duped are there in stark collusion with the takedown of Western civilization. In the aftermath of the van ramming pedestrians on the London Bridge and the continuing stabbing rampage by the attackers in the crowd at the Riverside nightlife district of Borough Market, Prime Minister Theresa May actually said these words, quote, "The recent attacks, it is an ideology that claims our Western values of freedom, democracy, and human rights are incompatible with the religion of Islam. It is an ideology that is a perversion of Islam and a perversion of the truth," unquote. On the other hand, a few U.S. mainstream columnists like Georgie Ann Geyer have begun to suspect the dangerous truth, even while still approving President Trump's earnestness. Opposing President Trump's earnestness in saving America's future from great bloodshed and final Sharia law. Geyer writes, quote, "Personally, I would not adopt the anti-Islamic policies of President Trump, which are obnoxious to me. At the same time, Western countries must be realistic about events happening around the world and even our culpability for them," unquote. That last statement about culpability comes out of what Geyer uncovered, MI5 connections. Very shortly, we'll bring up our guest, Daryl Eberhardt, and our first general question to him will be, has there been a precedent for U.S., British, and other intelligence organizations to be aiding and abetting forces and dictators who hate Western civilization and the U.S. Constitution? The Gaia's June 2nd column reports, quote, the first stories to emerge after the suicide bombing portrayed Abedi, only 22, as a Manchester-born young man who had traveled to Libya and Syria, but who was a regular British guy, only of Libyan descent. As more became known, the stories changed. His father, and indeed his whole family, fought in the Arab revolts of 2011 against Gaddafi. Then respectable newspapers such as the Financial Times began to report tantalizing but troubling stories that British intelligence may actually have facilitated boys like Abedi returning to Libya to fight against Gaddafi. British planes were in the NATO formations that helped destroy Gaddafi in 2011. The most recent stories, including those in the New York Times, reported that the British Domestic Intelligence Agency, MI5, has now opened two internal investigations into earlier ignored warnings and quote-unquote missed signals about Abedi. And the Associated Press now reports that the Brits are monitoring 3,000 suspected extremists inside Britain, with a wider pool of 20,000 also being observed. Manchester, with its 10,000 or more Libyan-born or related residents in a city of 530,000, is regularly referred to as a cultural melting pot and an example of multiculturalism at work. But some ominously refer to it as, quote, Libya's second capital, unquote. The coverage of the May bombing, which took 22 lives and wounded scores of others, has included reporting that shows a suspiciously large number of this Libyan community as ingrown, unassimilated, and unassimilating, and primarily committed to continuing to fight inside Libya for whatever cause. Inevitably, worse, a young man who had all the advantages England could offer, not only fought within Libya, on whose side we do not know yet, but then struck his homeland in a meticulously planned, deliberative, and utterly vicious manner.
And we now move to our ongoing topic, Radical Islam, the Slow Suicide of America. And author Paul L. Williams, in his essential 2013 book, Crescent Moon Rising, has these chapters that I think are so vital about the Muslim strongholds in America. The origin and establishment of Islamburg. Have you ever heard of Islamburg? Well, you will soon. And the Pakistani vision with steps and submission and the Muslim Brotherhood secret memo, the Somalis resettled, and Gulen's key role. And finally, the mosque macabre. And we just cannot let out that person in Brooklyn with the big, big influence of the mosque, all of these connections. And first of all, we were asking that question that Lou posed. Was there involvement of the CIA, MI5, and other intelligence organizations going back through time, often with these jihadis? Welcome to the program, Captain Daryl Eberhard.
And again, let me say I'm honored so much to be on the Divided Kingdom broadcast. And to answer that question would probably take about 20 hours of broadcast to
yeah.
do, because certainly the CIA and the British intelligence has been all over the map, all around the world, but especially in the Middle East, including Afghanistan, et cetera. And their connections run so deep. And as Alex Jones' InfoWars broadcast has pointed out quite frequently, there was a lot of U.S. and especially U.S. help in using our alleged ally Saudi Arabia and setting up a lot of the Sunni, radical Islamic militant groups such as Al-Qaeda, which was originally set up to battle the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan in 1979. But, 100% answer, yes, they're all over the map in involvement. In Kurdistan, which is it touches in northern Iraq, northern Syria, and southeastern Turkey, in Afghanistan, and in many other places in the Middle East, in either destabilizing regimes, overturning regimes, and setting up what we would call terrorist groups, or what some people would call freedom fighter groups, depending on which side you're on. But yes. 100% British and U.S. intelligence have been heavily involved.
Well, you know, we were interested in the book. We are so grateful for these books. Thank you again. You will receive a note from us, but they're so important. We remembered Dr. Stan Monteith's interviews with Savelle Edmonds. And so as you brought out there, we had the Soviet-Afghan war. And we didn't really want to let the Soviets get too much power, I guess. I guess that's partly the rationale that we got involved. But there was a later CIA-Turkey collaboration reported by Savelle Edmonds. And to us, this looks like a partnership to bring in the new Islamic world order. And there's not too much different right now in what we're seeing. We see the radical left forces like George Soros and his money being put out to destabilize America, and everything is sort of very friendly toward the radical Islam. Can you imagine what we heard there on InfoWars today about Sweden, that they will no longer provide any health services to their rape victims of the migrants?
Certainly, and I heard that part of the broadcast. As a matter of fact, I caught the first 3 hours, and it's sort of like so much of Europe is just rolling over and has, as Alex Jones pointed out, a Stockholm syndrome of where they love and welcome and extol the rapists and the murderers and that of militant Islam while still proclaiming that it's a religion of peace, and they need to just keep welcoming in more and more and more Muslims.
And, you know, I think we'll get right into this. Who was Sheikh Mubarak Jalani? Let's find out all about Islamberg, because, you know, I had heard just a little rumor that we had some armed compounds in the USA, but this book was an eye-opener. Let's get into this, and we'll just give the floor to you, Daryl.
Right, but before we start the continuation, I just want to please make two requests of the listeners, as I generally do, and that is, if you appreciate the Divided Kingdom broadcast, the great material that Lou and Elizabeth Caverly bring to you, then please consider sending them a thank you card, telling them how much you appreciate them. We all need to be encouraged in these days to stay in the fight, and please do consider sending them a check or money order made out to WWCR, that's Worldwide Christian Radio, and send that to the Divided Kingdom or to Lou Caverly at Post Office Box 28, and I'll give the address twice, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, because it costs money to put the broadcast out. Post Office Box 2828, Bethlehem, as it's spelled in the Bible, Bethlehem, Maryland, MD, 21609. And again, God willing, I'll be recommending several books. We've already mentioned one, and several internet websites during this broadcast. So please do grab a pen or pencil early in the broadcast and a piece of paper.
And Daryl, could I say a heartfelt thank you? We didn't know that you were going to plug our address and tell the listeners that we do need help to stay on the air. You know, we're all in this together. We aren't on any kind of a big network. The little network that we're on, LWRN.net, is more or less like a patriotic fellowship. So it is really important if you want to get this news and you know that you don't have to listen to commercials every 8 or 10 minutes, that's not there. And when I say we're in this together, Lou and I are doing this because we care about our young relatives. What will it be like in 20 years? I think Paul Williams said by the year 2050, the Islamic religion would be dominant in our country if the growth rates are the same. And we love being on WWCR down there in Music City. We know there are a lot of great Southern listeners. And it was shocking in this book to see that Shelbyville was an area in which they pushed a lot of the Muslims in, and they didn't adjust well, and the people were very upset there in Tennessee. And I say this, just as a woman who would like to protect the children in our country, think of that little 8-year-old girl who was killed in the Ariana Grande concert. I think that any women listening to this program should make it their duty to be aware if any mosques are coming and have a big outcry. Yes, take political action. We really need to take this political action, and you do need to call your congressman. Lou, do you have that number near you again, the toll-free number for Congress?
We can get that in just a second.
And yeah. While he's getting it, let me explain again. Don't be put off by fear of doing this. You just call the number, and you will get an operator, and then you tell her or him which congressman's office you want to be connected to. And then when the connection goes through, there will be a young representative talk to you, and you say, I would like to give the following message to Congressman so-and-so. And basically it would be very polite, but it would be, we are adamantly opposed to any impeachment proceedings, and we will not reelect any representatives who vote for this or bring it forth. So what is that number, Lou?
Yes, the number is, and it's toll-free, 1-877-762-8762.
Again.
Once again, 1-877-762-8762.
And now, when we are looking at things, there are so many Trojan horses. If you heard that there was this sheik, Jelani, and he had this nice mosque in Brooklyn, you might think this is just a nice worship center. There's a lot more, isn't there, Daryl?
There certainly is. And again, we should get books that are written by people like our Pennsylvania author here, Paul L. Williams, because he risked his life to go visit a lot of these different mosques and Islamic centers in Brooklyn. And, of course, Nashville was subjected to a lot of Somalis, Muslim Somalis that do not assimilate, do not make any attempt to assimilate. So this isn't going on in just maybe like New York City or Minneapolis, St. Paul, which also was forced to take a lot of Somalis. It's happening in the mid part of our country, in small towns. And as we pointed out on the last broadcast, many of these towns are not given any input before the initial invasion of migrants comes into their area. And very seldom do they get any input after they come in as to whether they want any more, et cetera. So, and as we read in this book of Paul L. Williams, and I do urge everyone to get the book. I don't have internet, but almost everyone can use Amazon.com or something to go look for these books. My local Barnes & Noble carries a lot of the books. So please, please consider getting this book by Paul L. Williams. It's got a lot of photographs in it that will show you what some of these storefront mosques look like. And I would just like to add one little word to what Lou said at the beginning. And certainly during the past several days and weeks, we've seen these what I call jihadi Islam on steroids, these numerous terrorist attacks in Europe, including London, where the terrorists were screaming, and there's no doubt then who's carrying these things out. They're screaming Allahu Akbar or something like this is for Allah. And sometimes Allah or Allah gets translated as God, and I guess that's, but it's not the God of the Old Testament. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's certainly not the God of the Christians. While they're attacking these innocent civilians and police officers, and it's even happening now during their holy month of Ramadan. And these attacks have included bombings, driving vehicles into crowds, stabbing innocent civilians, and many people can go up on social media and find where these people openly call upon Muslims in America and in Europe to use their vehicles as weapons, as we've seen happen like in Nice, France, and Berlin, Germany. Well, they'll drive a large or heavy truck into a bunch of innocent civilians. In some cases, they're told on the the social media, which I don't have, but Facebook and et cetera, they're told to then jump out after you run over as many children and women and that as you can, to jump out with large knives and start slitting throats or stabbing police officers, et cetera. So this isn't a minor threat we're talking about, and I think we're going to see very soon in America more and more of these attacks, and hopefully we can get to the book and just mention a couple of the attacks that have already happened in the United States, and they often do not get labeled as an Islamic terrorist attack. They're called workplace violence or some other thing, but anything, and as our former President Barack Hussein Obama kept saying, that there was no such thing as Islamic terrorism. And so that's important to know. And while these attacks are going on at the very same time in America, we find globalists and far-left Democrats continuing to push these following narratives in an attempt to impeach President Trump, such as Russia intervened via hacking to steal the presidential election from Hillary Clinton, and such as Donald J. Trump is a Russian puppet, and Trump's firing of then FBI Director James Comey is reminiscent of Nixon's Saturday Night Massacre during the Watergate scandal. So these same globalists and far-left Democrats who seem to love militant Islam are working overtime in our country to foment chaos and turmoil through violent demonstrations and riots, to either bring in martial law and or to bring in a what they call continuity of government action to remove President Trump, and an action which would lead, I think, to civil war in the USA that would pit blacks against whites, blacks and anarchists against law enforcement officers, Muslims against non-Muslims, conservatives and Trump supporters against communists and anarchists, et cetera. And by the way, and we mentioned this last week, Alex Jones mentioned on his broadcast that massive nationwide riots have been planned for the United States of America, and according to Alex Jones' InfoWars broadcast, for early July 2017, and I believe they called them the 3rd of July riots that have been scheduled, and they're going to be funded by George Soros. So just to finish up that thought, unfortunately, many of us Americans are woefully ignorant of history, world history, European history, the history of secret societies, even church history, and even behind-the-scenes American history. And here's just an example of the ignorance of world history. Many are unaware who actually orchestrated the Bolshevik Revolution. Many are unaware of how leftists and communists use anarchists and low-level party members to foment chaos, which we think is coming soon here with these massive demonstrations, riots, we should say, that are planned. And some of the fruits of this ignorance of behind-the-scenes history are that there are some people in the alternative media who blame the New World Order and globalism on Jews, Zionists, and even the Nation of Israel. And there's some of the same individuals are prominent in the alternative media who deny or minimize the Holocaust, the genocide against Jews during World War II. And these are just two examples of the rotten fruits of ignorance of history. And another example of nearly forgotten world history, and this applies so much to what we're talking about today, the history of Islam is the genocide that was carried out by Muslims in Turkey against Armenian Christians in the early 20th century that took the lives of up to 1 million Armenian Christian men, women, and children. And I can give you just a quick anecdotal story of when I taught the Middle East class to various officer courses at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, in the U.S. Army's Intelligence Center and School. I was a captain at the time. An Army major who was no doubt a Muslim, he was a Turkish American, walked up to me and says, "You can't say anything about the Armenian genocide. It didn't really happen." And of course, although he outranked me by one grade, I was the instructor in the class. So I told him, "If you've got a complaint, you take it elsewhere. I'm teaching the class. I've studied a lot of history. It really happened." And it's just when there is so much ignorance, and we know in the Bible it says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Obviously, talking that the biggest lack of knowledge would be the lack of the knowledge of the Holy Word of God. But we're also being destroyed for our lack of knowledge of history. And I think both of you would agree that we need to learn a little bit more about Middle Eastern history, what's really happened there. And the powers behind the scenes, especially the intelligence agencies that are often fomenting the trouble.
Yes, I'd like to interject here that the suppression of the truth is very key. And as you pointed out to us in a written communication, there was someone on a large Patriot network sending out materials that minimized the Holocaust, saying that 300,000 Jews were killed. That's totally absurd. And anyone who missed your very fine presentation on the Jesuit connection to the Civil War, you'll want to go into our archives soon. We will have those programs in there. And we will not be doing a special program about the Holocaust denial because we have many times brought forth a lot of that information, probably at the chagrin of some of those who don't want to hear the truth. And we soon must bring Anita Dittman's two-part interview back, probably this summer soon. We will repeat her excellent program. She does not speak, Daryl, about Holocaust denial. She only tells her own topic in her book, Trapped in Hitler's Hell, her personal story. But that's riveting enough. And so, you know, we know that certain minds will not be changed because they want to hate the Jews. But you know what? We want to find the truth. And we think that the Jews are being used as a scapegoat. And we respect your knowledge because, after all, you worked in intelligence in various manners. And you could see that the Vatican connection seemed a lot stronger than the Jewish connection. And at the same time, to be fair, we must say this, and this is probably all we're going to say, during the time that how many years ago, Lou, was it now, 1945, when Eisenhower and the troops went into Dachau? It was
I guess that'd be 72 years ago.
And that was in May, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
Early May.
Yes.
So, you know, those who want to find the truth can really find it. But we think there is a Rothschild connection. Al Cuppet discussed a facility that was built by the late Edgar Bronfman, and it wasn't too far away from where Al lives in Virginia, and it was supposedly something that would slaughter buffalo. But Al joked a little bit, it was really built for human beings to walk through. There was something that seemed rather sinister, so we think certainly there are some Illuminati people. There were some assassinations in Israel. Barry Chamish talked about this. There is a New World Order element. But we don't think that they are ruling. As you brought out in our last broadcast, all of these Knights of Malta, including Henry Luce. Now, that was of Time magazine, and we noted that just in the last year, the editor of Time magazine and the representatives from Time magazine met with the Pope, and they were planning on some kind of an overview for the future. The global organization. So you see, they're high-level people and organizations in this conspiracy. So we just urge all of you not to be taken in by the Holocaust hatred denial or industry. They like to call it the Holocaust industry. But I think after our program last week, I heard a little blurb on the shortwave, and one of those voices said that there are those out there who are telling you who is part of the conspiracy, but they're keeping you from getting the real truth. That was probably you, Daryl, Lou, and me. And God just let me hear that late one night, and I realized that's damage control. So we're warning all of you, we don't think an Inquisition is coming tomorrow. And furthermore, we said how we love individual Roman Catholics, and right now, we'd better join any of us who are Christian. We have some other listeners who say all Orthodox Christians aren't real Christians. Those people who were beheaded over there in Baghdad, I would be ashamed to say something like that. We don't know the hearts of people, and anyone who was martyred for Jesus Christ, I would be ashamed to say they weren't a real Christian. So I think we'd better join forces to save Western civilization. This is not the time to pick apart the differences in all of the theology between the Roman Catholicism and the Protestant churches, but we are just alerting the people that if the conspiracy suddenly becomes full-blown, they have to have some idea what are the hidden aspects of history. And the ones that you brought out so importantly about those foreign powers, we did not know, Lou and I did not know about the Congress of Vienna, those congresses that were held in the 1800s in Europe to take down America. And that was more than just the Vatican. It was some other countries involved. But now let's really switch right back here and get right in to the influence of the Brooklyn Mosque and Islamberg. Tell us all about it.
Okay. And would you mind if I just read a couple quick of the captions of the pictures that's in Paul Williams' book, because it's so important that...
Surely.
Okay, the first caption says, and they've got Paul Williams standing in front of the El Farouk Mosque on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. So this is just going to let people know, and it says on there, Masjid El Farouk. It just looks like a storefront. We mentioned that last time. You may be walking by a storefront, and it's actually a mosque. And if you see that word Masjid on there, that's the Arabic word for mosque. Another picture shows a colonial church in Washington, D.C. that's been transformed into an Islamic house of worship. Again,
I have to interrupt. I have to interrupt you, Daryl. That was a stunning picture because it looked like one of those old Puritan churches, like we saw, Lou, up in Massachusetts, the Congregational Church where your mother went. That was heartbreaking when I saw that, Daryl.
And they're taking those... In many places where churches are closing down, and that they will buy the church and turn it into a mosque. And so it's all over America that this is happening. And of course, there's a picture of one of the fortresses you mentioned. They actually have a fortress in Pennsylvania, and here I have it. It's a sentry hut within Fethullah Gulen. He's a Turkish man. His mountain fortress in Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania. That's in the beautiful Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. So these people, and by the way, they heard people firing fully automatic weapons out there. And of course, under the Barack Hussein Obama administration, when they called the FBI and said that they should investigate when local people called, they were told that no, because they have a religious designation, they can go out and do all the military, paramilitary training that they want with fully automatic rifles.
So, Darryl, let me interrupt you there for a second. Yeah. Do you think things are going to get better under the present administration? And why, you know, that boggles the mind that they would, well, even under Obama, as bad as he was, you would think that they would have taken some action there. I can say if any right-wing paramilitary group was firing weapons like that, they would jump on them quickly enough, don't you think?
For sure. And the problem is, and I'm sure you both of you have heard it on Alex Jones' broadcast quite a bit, is it's not that Trump doesn't want to stop this kind of stuff. The problem is all of these holdovers from Barack Hussein Obama's administration that are still in at the top and secondary level that are blocking all his actions, like at the State Department.
Yeah. When you start having these heavy weapons being fired, I think it's time to send in the army, just take over the place. But then again, who am I to say, I guess?
But whose army is it, you see?
Yeah,
we've been
too.
Sold out. But, you know, I like to think in the last days of Dr. Stan Monteith, he said that he had just about given up hope, but when the Tea Party arose, it renewed his hope, and it eventually, I think, became sold out, but a lot of things began with the Tea Party so that this big movement of the Info Warriors and others who just are ordinary Americans, they do see through some of this. We were sitting in Cracker Barrel, the restaurant, one day, some months back, and these guys, they were definitely redneck guys, and they were sitting there, and they were discussing how they thought it was a lie, all this Russian stuff about Trump. And I thought that's interesting because there's a lot of native intelligence and there's a lot of will in the American people. I'm sad to say I have a lot of European ancestors. I'm sad to see that they let themselves have their guns taken away in England and that they put up with this in France. I'm sad, but you see, God has been taken out of those closed churches, and now it's coming here. What you're telling us, go back to some more photos and some things that will tell the listeners that we're in a time that we're not exaggerating the danger.
No, certainly not. And he took pictures of himself in front of numerous mosques in the U.S., and there are 16 pages in his book, so I would urge the listeners, this is a book you really need to have in your library. Crescent, Moon, Rising, The Islamic Transformation of America is the subtitle by Paul L. Williams. He's written 19 different books, but here he shows a Muslim that's a lookout at in front of this mosque called El Taqwa in Brooklyn, and quite a few of them in the larger cities like Washington, D.C. and in Virginia. Sheikh Gilani, a house that's in Virginia in honor of Sheikh Mubarak Gilani, the founder of Jamaat al-Fukra, which is, in other words, a mosque called al-Fukra. And by the way, that was officially designated a terrorist group in 1999, Patterns of Global Terrorism Report, and yet here it is, a street named after this man. They've got a newly constructed mosque that buttresses the campus of the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. So it's all over the country. It's not just in a few places. And we have the Shabazz Mosque here, a Nation of Islam house of worship in Harlem. And this is an important time I could bring this in, is that a number of my friends and acquaintances are guards in the SCI, the corrections, state corrections institutes, correctional institutes in the state of Pennsylvania. And many of the black inmates have converted to Islam. And they are right now, about over a quarter of them, a friend of mine told me recently, are celebrating Ramadan within the prison. So a lot of black Americans are recruited to Islam in our prison system, not just in Pennsylvania, but around the country. Can I give them one example of a terrorist attack in the U.S.? We started to do this at the end of part one, and it'll show you why, how these things get twisted and changed. And hopefully, I doubt the mainstream media will change, but hopefully that Trump will be able to get, or InfoWars will be able to get some of their people asking some of the questions at some of these White House briefings. But on November 5th, 2009, at Fort Hood, Texas, and this is just a very good example, you had a U.S. Army major. He's a Muslim. Malik Nadal Hassan, 39 years old. He's an American psychiatrist. He opens fire on American troops at Fort Hood, Texas, in a murderous rampage, they say, that left 13 soldiers dead and 38 wounded. The carnage began as approximately 300 soldiers, American soldiers, U.S. Army soldiers, were in preparation for deployment to Afghanistan. They lined up to get their vaccinations. And what happens? This Army, U.S. Army major starts screaming, Allahu Akbar. And I don't like it. I know it's a correct translation when people say God is greater. But no, it's Allah. Allah, again, is not, he's the moon god, one of the gods that, at the Kaaba, that Muhammad selected to be the Muslim god. But he's screaming Allahu Akbar before opening fire with his semi-automatic pistol. And 6 months before that massacre, this Major Hassan had attracted the attention of law enforcement officers, officials, for his anti-American tirades and his statements of support. But we know what happened. Barack Hussein Obama, when he reacted to this carnage, said, "We don't know all the answers yet." And I would caution against jumping to conclusions until we have all the facts. They ended up calling this workplace violence instead of an Islamic terrorist attack. And I could give numerous other examples. And I know you want to get to some of these chapters about these different Muslim leaders that have come here to our country, like Jelani and others that they mention. And most of these people are under the watch or protection of the radical Democrats in this country, who constantly protect Muslims coming in. And they, and it wasn't just the Obama administration, but others have before them have called these moderate Muslims, mostly it was the Barack Hussein administration, Obama administration, and they call these moderate Arabs Muslims that we can work with, the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's so important we understand that the Muslim Brotherhood was set up in Egypt, and it was declared almost within a decade or so to be a major terrorist organization. They tried to overthrow Gamal Abdel Nasser, who was more of a, in line of a secular president, and they created terrorist acts down in Egypt. When they were suppressed, they fled to most of the other Arab countries in the Middle East, and to Tunisia, a lot of places in North Africa. And what they did was they set up affiliate groups. And where did Al-Qaeda? Well, where did the Nusra Front? Where did, I'm trying to think of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, where did they all come from? They morphed out of the original Muslim Brotherhood. So the Muslim Brotherhood, which runs most of the mosques in the United States of America, which offer pamphlets on how to carry out a terrorist attack on a limited budget, who print hate material against America and our democratic processes here in this country, they are funded out of our alleged ally, Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia, if they really want to be our ally, needs to quit funding the Muslim Brotherhood, and we need to have various organizations at the state level, at local levels, recognize that the Muslim Brotherhood are not moderate Muslims. They are providing through their charity groups and that, and that's brought out in a number of books, through charity fronts that they set up, they're funding the most militant forms of Islamic militant groups around the world, terrorist groups, and they are helping to fund them. And Saudi Arabia, most of the funding for the mosques and Islamic centers, again, being built in the United States of America, are being funded by our alleged ally, Saudi Arabia. So this is such an important program to get this kind of information out. And you mentioned some of the people they have in this book. We have the Turkish guy that allegedly helped cause a revolution in Turkey. I think that's a fake story, because what Turkey used to be very secular, and now they have had a militant Muslim overthrow of the country. And the guy there that's running the country now, Erdogan, he accused the guy with the fortress in Pennsylvania in the Pocono Mountains of causing the revolution. But I don't, that wouldn't make any sense, because the guy's a militant Islamist, and Turkey is becoming more and more militant Islamist. So there's a NATO ally that is very, very, very much into persecution of not only Shiite Muslims, but also they help with that, but to persecuting the Kurdish people horribly. And they certainly had no sympathy for the Christians who were being slaughtered in northern Iraq and in northern Syria.
And also, this, how do you pronounce his name? Gulen?
The first, the guy in the Poconos?
Yes. G-U-L-E-N. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Gulen, I think.
Gulen.
But it would be a Turkish,
I think,
name.
It
would.
It's interesting to me, as an educator, that this thing has been sort of a front for a big educational takeover. And I would like to quote the book in a sermon that he aired on Turkish television to his followers. You must move in the arteries of the system without anyone noticing your existence until you reach all the power centers, until the conditions are ripe. They, the followers, must continue like this. If they do something prematurely, the world will crush our heads and Muslims will suffer everywhere, like in the tragedies in Algeria, like in 1982 in Syria, like in the yearly disasters and tragedies in Egypt. The time is not yet right. You must wait for the time when you are complete and conditions are ripe, until we can shoulder the entire world and carry it. You must wait until such time as you have gotten all the state power, until you have brought to your side all the power of the constitutional institutions in Turkey. Until that time, any step taken would be too early, like breaking an egg without waiting the full 40 days for it to hatch. It would be like killing the chick inside. The work to be done is in confronting the world. Now, I have expressed my feelings and thoughts to you all in confidence, trusting your loyalty and secrecy. I know that when you leave here, just as you discard your empty juice boxes, you must discard the thoughts and feelings that I expressed here. And now these schools, these Gulen schools, the book, the Paul Williams book, lists seven in Arizona. And many of them are called the Sonoran, S-O-N-O-R-A-N, science academies. Arkansas, they're called the LISA academies. There are five there. In California, there are 13 schools called the Magnolia Science Academy. See how misleading these names are? If we didn't know this, that they're fronts for this radical Islamic movement and the Dawah, we would never know. Colorado has a Lotus School for Excellence, one there in Aurora. Florida has five, and they have different names. Stars Middle School, Sweetwater Branch Academy, River City Science Academy Middle School, Orlando Science Middle School, New Springs Middle School, Tampa. Georgia has a number of them called the Fulton Science Academies. Illinois has two, the Chicago Math and Science Academy and the Quest Charter Academy. Indiana has two, Indiana Math and Science Academy, Indiana Math and Science Academy West and North. Louisiana, we're always talking about our friends down there in Nashville. They have the Kenilworth Science and Technology in Baton Rouge, and there's a charter holder, Pelican Educational Foundation Management Organization, the Cosmos Foundation, and the Harmony Public Schools. So you want to be watching for some of those buzzwords. In Maryland, where we are, there's the Baltimore IT Academy, the Chesapeake Math and IT Academy, the Chesapeake Science Point in Hanover. Massachusetts has a couple, Pioneer Charter School, Hampton Charter School of Science. Michigan has one, the Math and Science Academy, Minnesota, Management Organization Concept Schools Incorporated. Missouri has Frontier Schools. There are several there, and one named Gateway Science Academy of St. Louis. Nevada has three. They're mostly called the Coral Academy of Sciences. Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Albuquerque School of Excellence. New York has a number there, different names. New Jersey has five. The Bergen Arts and Science Charter School. Central Jersey College Prep. North Carolina has Triad Math and Science Academy. Ohio has 19 of them, and a lot of them, almost all of them, are called the Horizon Science Academies or the Noble Academy in Cleveland. Oklahoma has the Discovery School of Tulsa, the Dove Science Academy. At Oklahoma City, Dove Science Academy Elementary School, and the Dove Science Academy in Tulsa. Pennsylvania has the True Bright Science Academy in Philadelphia, the Young Scholars of Central Pennsylvania, the Young Scholars of Western Pennsylvania. Tennessee has the Memphis School of Excellence. Texas has 42 of them. A lot of them are these Harmony Science Academies. It's just rife with them in the Austin and Brownsville and Dallas area, Houston. Man, I just can't believe how many are in Texas. It's just amazing. Utah has the Beehive Science and Technology Academy. Wisconsin has the Milwaukee Math and Science Academy, the Wisconsin Career Academy. And then California has the Magnolia Science Academy in San Diego. Louisiana, again, has the Abrahamson Science and Technology. Now, maybe that was a long list to read, but I think that shows us that there's a big deception going on. And where is this money coming from? Where is all this money coming from? Is some of it coming from us, the taxpayers, do you think, Daryl?
I think most of it's coming from Saudi Arabia. And, of course, this invasion, if you want to call it immigration, we can, but it's actually an Islamic invasion of the United States of America, and they make no secret, they are very open in their own statements. They want to turn America into a Muslim country. And as I heard one person say on the shortwave recently, it's not just militant Islam that's a threat to Christian culture and Christianity. It's Islam itself. And it really is. If you look at any place where Muslims become the majority or get a very large minority, they start initially making requests for certain things for their own schools, etc. And then it turns into demands to have mosques. Then if they go to work, like they mentioned in the book Crescent Moon Rising, for a large corporation, they want to have prayer time set apart for them and the halal food, their kosher food for Muslims. Then they want to start making demands that Sharia law gets put into their neighborhood and then into the entire city. And then the ultimate objective is Sharia law for the entire nation. So it's important that you mention those. And that's why it's important for the people to get that book, Crescent Moon Rising. Look on the internet or go to a local large bookstore, and you will get the list of all these names of schools, and also
Paul,
the we mentioned last week.
Paul L. Williams and
Resettlement.
Prometheus Books puts out this book, Prometheus Books. Paul L. Williams, and bookstores can order these books for you. You know, you can go to Barnes & Noble, other bookstores. We just can't thank you enough, Captain Eberhardt, for warning the American people, because we love our country and we don't want to see all of the culture changed and everything destroyed. And next week, remember, Captain Eberhardt will be back with our program, and you won't want to miss the cutting edge, whether it's in the theology or whether it's a combination of current events. Thank you, Daryl.
Thanks for having me on. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And listeners, do pray and do take action by calling Congress. Give a number, Lou.
Let me see. Well, I don't have it handy here.
Well, we think you got it earlier in the program. We'll have to leave you to do your duty. Good night.
Good night.